Hi, and welcome back to Convergently Speaking. Today, we're talking about curiosity. G'day there, I'm Dan.
And I'm Caitlin.
And today we're looking at the topic of curiosity. So if you've been following along for a while to the podcast, you may have noticed that a while back we started signing off with stay curious. So today we want to discuss a bit about why that is and the role that curiosity has to play in both our romantic relationships, but really all our relationships, whether it be work, friendships, family, or any other type of relationship. When it comes to curiosity, I really see that a lack of curiosity is one of the biggest impediments for good and thriving relationships. I mostly work with couples in therapy, but what I've also come to realize is that most people go to most therapy most of the time because of some type of relational issue. It's not necessarily a romantic relationship that they're having issues with, but there's usually relationships at the core of what's brought them in. Maybe it's a trauma they've experienced. Usually there's other people involved in trauma. Maybe it's a work conflict or some kind of relational issue. And generally, there's some level of being stuck. I mean, that's why we go out and seek help. We go out and seek help when we can't resolve or fix our own issues. And whilst it's tempting for us humans to assign blame either ourselves and really beat up ourselves and think we're bad, we're terrible, and we're all to blame, or probably more commonly find a scapegoat or another person to assign all our blame to, this isn't the best way to move forward to have good and thriving relationships. Because the reality is that in most human interactions where things go awry, there's some level of responsibility for both parties. I often compare it to when you have a crash on the road. At least here in Australia, the default position is actually to ascribe a percentage of blame to both parties. And in most circumstances, it actually has to be proven that one party was totally not at fault. And this is the way that I come at relationships as well. Even if one party may only have, say, 20% fault, they still have a level of fault. And I've talked about this previously when we discussed the Gottman method and looked at the way in which we can become defensive in relationships and that the antidote to defensiveness is taking responsibility. So how does this link to curiosity? Well, to work out who's to blame and what went wrong, you need to move into a state of curiosity. If you've already made a conclusion, then you're not in a state of curiosity. And so often when I'm working with couples, when they come in and they both explain their side of the story, they both explain the challenges that they're having, I really try and purvey a sense of interest and curiosity from my side of things, almost as an example of how to approach this issue. Often a couple will come in and both of them feel like they know what's going on and that if they could just get their partner on board, all would be well and good. And there's this real need to move into at least being open that they themselves don't fully comprehend and don't fully understand what's going on. And I certainly portray at the beginning that I don't know what's going on. I've only met you recently and this is all new to me. And whilst I've met many other couples, you guys are totally unique. You've had your own life experiences. You have your own traumas. You have your own personality. And so the goal is to really try and foster a period of time when we remain curious. And I think this is a principle that we can apply more broadly to all relationships. If you have some conflict with a coworker where they fly off the handle and call you a derogatory name or kind of give you the cold shoulder, whatever, there's invariably a reason behind why they've done that. It's very important to emphasize here that a reason is not an excuse. So while the aim isn't to excuse bad behavior, opening up a level of curiosity about why they might have done what they did, firstly, can bring some empathy for yourself, but it also opens up the possibility of repair of that relationship, some open dialogue, potentially some forgiveness and healing, and fundamentally at the end, a strategy to ensure this doesn't occur again. So that's a bit of an overview, I suppose, or a bit of an intro. But I want to throw it to you, Caitlin. What does curiosity mean for you? And the context here is that Caitlin and I, for those that are new, are different personality types. I'm an INFJ in the Myers-Briggs system, and Caitlin's an ISFJ in the Myers-Briggs system. And curiosity shows up and functions quite differently for the intuitive, such as myself, versus the sensor Myers-Briggs types as well.
Yeah, personality comes into this as far as how naturally curious people are. And the sensor and intuitive split in people is a big part of that difference. In my own experience being a sensor, sensors tend to look at more of the real world, look at data and what's actually happening in front of them. Intuitives more naturally think about what's happening sort of behind the curtain or look at the bigger picture of things. Sensors more naturally just rely on what they can actually see in front of them. And so that can make it more difficult to be curious about things, to ask yourself questions like, oh, I wonder what is happening here. We tend to assume that what we can see is all there is, and so that we know what's going on. I noticed that in mine and Dan's relationship, and watching how he navigates the world and seeing how he doesn't come to quick conclusions as much as I do sometimes, and I'll think I know what's going on in a situation, or a big one is often in problem-solving situations. We'll come into a situation where I think I've gone through all the options and there's no solution and I'm stuck, and then he'll just ask a couple questions and I'll go, oh, yeah, no, I never thought of it that way. And I also didn't even realize that there could be another way of thinking about this problem. So I really noticed that difference, and I really appreciate that influence and that input into my life and my way of seeing things.
It's really that idea of not knowing what we don't know and learning to know that we don't know things. I think Caitlin's really speaking to this idea that she's realized that at times she'll have a narrow focus on something and then I will come in with some other data points, or as she said, a few questions, and it will open up her perspective. And I can certainly say the same happens for me on a regular basis. And so this is where curiosity comes in, to actually realize that we all, every one of us, have a limited, and I'd say actually quite limited, ability to see the whole picture, to see the whole dimension and dynamic of what's going on at any one moment when it comes to, well, when it comes to life, but specifically in the area of relationships. So the ability to accept influence from our partner actually starts with an openness, a curiosity about what other data points may I be missing. Even though it might feel like we're seeing the whole picture, it might feel like we know all of what's going on. And I think anyone that's lived a bit has had humbling experiences where they've realized, oh, I've got egg on my face because I've been too confident about my interpretation, too confident about my hypothesis of what's happening, and, you know, had to basically eat their words. And so I think we can all connect with that experience. But what I want to propose today is, rather than falling into shame and letting our ego get wrapped up in the fact that we were wrong, it's having this growth mindset, this open frame to actually not just being open to be wrong, but expect to be wrong and be open to getting input and really wisdom from other people. Because when it comes to relationships and when it comes to conflicts, the majority of the time, the conflicts are actually a result of miscommunication, not bad intent. And so for me, that's my default operating position. I actually assume good intent and I'm open to being convinced about bad intent. But yeah, as I say, most of the time it turns out to not be bad intent. The conflict and the tension might create a bad outcome where someone ends up getting angry, someone ends up getting frustrated, But again, that's usually them not being curious about why their partner's behavior or their colleague or friend's behavior occurred, and rather making a judgment about what went on. So if you want to move into curiosity, I think you really need to let go of quick judgments, and we need to hold our conclusions loosely and lightly. And no matter how convinced we might feel that we are right, to kind of have a little voice in our head that reminds us that we can't fully trust those feelings, and that, yeah, there may be stuff we're not taking into consideration that if we were to consider it, would be a total reframing of our perception of this particular relational issue.
So if we're thinking about how that then looks practically to keep your mind open to other possibilities, to if you're in a conflict or a discussion or a frustration with your partner, there are ways that you can spark some curiosity in yourself. So I know for me, I can tend to get very narrow focused, especially if I'm feeling stressed and overwhelmed. I'll be looking at a problem very narrowly, or looking at the interaction very narrowly, thinking I know what's going on. If I can even ask myself a question like, I wonder what's going on for the other person, or even I wonder if there's different solution to this problem, that can sort of snap me out of it and help me to start to think a little bit more broadly, which then would open me up to more curiosity and somebody else giving me some suggestions that I'd be open to. Because sometimes that's the other issue. If I'm in a narrow state of mind, somebody else like Dan gives me a suggestion, I'll kind of just get defensive or shut down because I'm not at all in an open frame of mind to be hearing that.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And sometimes it's just a matter of a few seconds, the difference between being reactive or basically not being curious and stopping and taking a deep breath. And that can often be long enough to keep open that bit of breadth of perspective or breadth of emotionality or however you experience it, to be open to input from others, to be open to other perspectives. A mindful breath as opposed to just staying locked into our frame of mind and our frame of reference, like a train that's heading in one direction and isn't going to stop for anyone. The other point I want to touch on in regards to curiosity, and I'm kicking myself that I can't find the official quote that sums it up really concisely, is the topic of logic and its role in curiosity. And this quote, which I'm struggling to find, that if you find it, you can email me at podcast@danielanear.com and tell me. It speaks about the idea that behind everyone's actions, they always have a logic. There's always a systematic thinking that exists behind their action. That doesn't mean to say that that logic is your logic or even necessarily correct, but to say that there's a series of thoughts and data points that they've taken on board when deciding to do the action they've done or deciding to not do the action that they've not done. So where I see this at work in my practice is that one party will project onto the other party their own logic and own process of coming to conclusions or deciding to do or not do an action. And when they learn that their partner has some other way of framing things, they immediately judge that as wrong. They immediately conclude, well, that person's wrong and incorrect, or sometimes they just conclude for a period of time, I don't know why they did this, this doesn't make sense. And the longer that sentiment goes on, the more tempting it is to conclude, not just I don't know why they did this, but I know why they did this. They did this for bad reasons. They did this to intentionally hurt me. They did this because they don't love me, or they don't care about me, or they have some other dubious intent. So the way I like to approach things, and you know, this is my perspective, I'm not saying it's the only way, but it's to try and marry up this belief and this understanding that we all have a logic behind our actions, we all have a reason behind our actions, marry that up with some curiosity, and I find this works really well to help a person hold enough space, sustain enough curiosity to sort of be able to achieve what Caitlin was talking about before, not moving into defensiveness for long enough to actually hear and understand where your partner or other party is coming from, and ultimately prevent ending up in the place where the only way that you can reconcile this other person's behavior is because they're selfish or because they don't care or because they're a psychopath. And I think I've said this on previous podcasts that unless the person is a psychopath or a sociopath of some sort, most times they're not meaning to hurt you. It's because they're coming at things from a totally different framework or maybe a different value system. And so simultaneously holding in one hand a belief that says people always do things for a reason, there's a logic behind why people do things, and curiosity about what those reasons are, I personally think is the best recipe for happy and thriving relationships where there's able to be open and honest dialogue, and when miscommunications do occur, because they inevitably occur, there's enough space created to actually unpick that and undo that and really nut out what went awry and do some sort of repair so that days don't turn into weeks and months of unresolved issues and ultimately lingering pain and hurt.
So there's a bit more background on why we're saying stay curious at the end of our podcast, and hopefully now when you hear that, it's a good reminder to stay in that curious frame of mind, stay open, and take that moment of pause in your life, in your relationships, to say, I wonder what's going on for the other person before you jump to conclusions, before you have judgments on the other person. That's all we have for you today. Thank you for listening to Convergently Speaking, and stay curious.